I grew up in Pennsylvania and lived in the same house all the way through high school. My parents took, I have one brother and two sisters, took us to the Lutheran church every Sunday without fail. I was sprinkled as an infant and confirmed at age 12. I still have in my office a Bible that my parents gave me on my 10th birthday. In that church, we were taught to sit still and be quiet. There was no turning around. There was no playing in a church service. And if we did, we were disciplined. That was my background for how to be in church. The Bible was presented as a sacred book that was to be respected. And I was taught basic Bible doctrines, which I never denied and I never questioned. I began working and earning money before I was 12, and that allowed me to get a car as soon as I turned 16. I had drifted from my family and upbringing. I rarely tell much about my background because it is shameful. There's nothing good about it. I drifted from my family and upbringing. I used lots of illegal drugs, and I soon learned that there was a lot of money to get by buying and reselling drugs, and that allowed my sinful habits to greatly increase. The summer after high school, I got in trouble with a girlfriend, and trying to get out of that trouble, I attended a church with the hope of getting back into favor with the girlfriend's parents. But God had other intentions. I sat in a small church, much smaller than this, smaller than one half of this church building. I sat in a very small church building with less than 20 people in the service, and the pastor announced his text, and I found it in a pew Bible. I have no idea what he said, but I knew without any doubt that that preacher believed what the Bible said. And I left with an interest in the Bible, but no conviction of sin. I was a freshman in college at Mansfield University in Pennsylvania, and my roommate was a Vietnam veteran who was using and dealing heroin. And apart from God's protecting grace, I'm sure I would have gotten much more involved, even deeper in illegal drugs. Thankfully, for me, he was expelled just a few weeks into the school year. I was glad he was, looking back. I returned one time to that Bible-preaching church and came under intense conviction of sin. After the service, when the pastor approached me, I cursed him and I ran from the building. I was shaking so badly I could not bring a match to my cigarette. I hitchhiked 100 miles back to college. That night, alone in my dorm room, I became convinced that I was headed to hell. I knew Jesus died and rose for sinners, and I trusted him as my personal savior. God gave me a voracious appetite for Scripture. Reading and memorizing became my primary activity. When Scripture talked about fasting, I started to do it. Many weekends, I went to my dorm room on Friday after class and would not leave until Monday morning except to use the restroom. The entire weekend would be spent fasting, praying, and reading Scripture. Much later, I came to wonder if God actually used that to clean my body from some of the filth that I had put in it. Along with drugs, rock music had been a massive part of my life. I attended many rock concerts and had hundreds of rock record albums. My stereo system was so advanced, we used it for parties throughout our entire three-story dormitory. I became convinced that music took me away from Jesus. So I threw the albums away and sold the stereo. I can still distinctly remember crying when I threw my music away. Not because of the money it represented, but because I loved that music so deeply. But I wanted to love Jesus more, so it had to go. The following school year, I attended Bob Jones University, and at that time, the school was like a boot camp with strict rules of discipline that were enforced with significant consequences. That was exactly what I needed to get my life on track for serving God. While there, I met Janice, graduated, married, went to Kenya for 15 months, and served as an assistant pastor. But by now, I've been a senior pastor for 35 years. No one could be more unworthy of God's glorious grace. God did that. I have three verses I'd like to read to you. Isaiah 50 and verse 7 has been a life verse for many, many years since before before we ever went to Kenya. And God just used these verses to fashion my life in some very special ways. Isaiah 50 and verse 7 says, "The Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." Galatians 6:14 says, "God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." And then 1 Corinthians 15:9-10, "For I am the least of the apostles," Paul said, "that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God, but by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." I praise God that he loves and saves hell-bound sinners. Amen.